Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me this morning on this New Year's Day. It's great to have all of you here this morning, and thanks for spreading out. So if I start picking on you, you'll definitely know about it, right? It's all good. Please join me in the doxology, and it's in your red hymnal number 549.
Praise God from the
to worship is hymn number 709. My whole being boasts of the Lord. Let the lowly folk hear and be glad. Lord God Almighty, how great and wonderful are your deeds. King of all nations, how right and true are your ways. Who will not fear you, Lord? Who will refuse to declare your greatness? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds are seen by all. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen. Peace and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 272, What Child Is This Who Laid to Rest? Number 272. Singing with me, and it's part of our tradition on the first day of January when we do have service that we sing some of the Christmas songs, because we usually don't get an opportunity to sing them all before Christmas. So we always try to honor the season by continuing to sing Christmas hymns to the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have brought each and everyone here this morning. And Lord, we know that you have called us all here to worship with purpose, to remind us of the truth that your Son, Jesus Christ, represents in our lives. And God, we know that we are not perfect. We know the faults that we have in our lives. But God, you remind us again and again that as we pray to you individually and collectively, you remind us that we have been made perfect through your Son, and we praise you for that. Lord, we think of the needs that we have in our lives and the needs of our friends, the needs of the fellow employees that are working here and family members, the needs of the patients throughout this medical center, the needs of the families that we'll be visiting. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer. And God, as we look behind of the previous year and we look ahead to this new year, we are reminded that in all things that you always want us to petition you with the needs that we have in our lives. And Lord, we'd ask that you'd remind us to do that as we begin this year correctly in worshiping you with our hearts, with our soul, and with our minds. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 264, We Three Kings of Orient Are. 264. Songs to remind us of the birth of Christ and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. Our scriptures this morning comes from the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, you have reminded us by the prayers that we have offered, the scriptures that we have read, the hymns that we have sung together, how glorious you are and how worthy of worship. And Lord, we are just so thankful and honored that we can worship you now here in this chapel. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen different things on social media about what to give up for the new year. And one of the things that I thought was interesting as I was talking with Lynn about what to give up for the new year or what goals that we want to set for this coming year, there always seems to be a contradiction in what we want to do. In fact, let's say we have the New Year's goal of wanting to lose weight, but yet I enjoy eating. I should exercise more, but I do not like exercising. And so we think of the contradictions when we make our New Year's resolutions, and we have them. And it appears that our lives more and more seems to be a series of contradictions. But the scriptures remind us that if we focus our intent on one thing, that many of the contradictions that we have in our lives, and we all have them, gives us the proper focus that we need to have to deal with those contradictions that occur. In fact, Lynn was telling me this morning some of the things that she wanted to do for this coming year. She wanted to spend more time with the grandchildren. She wanted to understand our children better. She wanted to understand the different love styles that they have in terms of how they give and receive love. And we've talked about those different love styles here in the chapel. And then she also talked about the fact that she wanted to increase the amount of clients that she has in her business. But yet, as we were kind of talking about those goals and sometimes even laughing about those goals, they seem to be contradictory to one another. How can you do all of those things, but yet still be who you are in Christ? And I'm reminded that as we walk each day for the Lord, that we do have contradictions. We do have contradictions that we need to manage. We do have contradictions in our lives in terms of what we believe in, but yet the actions in our lives seem to carry out a different action than what we really truly want to have. And that's what Paul is telling us here, is one of the things that I can do to help you balance and manage the contradictions that you have in your life is to look forward to what God has for you. To look forward with a great expectation, an expectation that God is going to work something beautiful and wonderful in your life. And it's not the power of positive thinking. It's not the power of, well, if we think of good things, then good things are going to happen to our lives. It's the power of the truth that we represent through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think about that, there are so many things that we have to learn in our lives. And Paul is being honest about that, because he knows that he struggled with the same thing, to forget about those things that have happened in the past. Can we do anything about the past? The answer to that question is no. The past has happened. It is what it is. and there's nothing that we can do about it. So why do we stand in the present looking at the past? Can we change the past? Can we make the past any different than what it is? The answer to that question is no. So when we stand in the present and look at the past, we are not experiencing and enjoying the present moment that we have and the future that we have in our walk with God. And that is what Paul wants us to understand. That's what Paul wants us to experience. That's what Paul wants us to put our truth in. Our past, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, has been removed because of our relationship with Him. That the things that we have done in our lives in the past that are wrong, that are full of contradictions, the Bible tells us that if we ask for forgiveness about those things are forgiven and are no more. So your past, in the eyes of God, is no more. So why do I, and why do you stand there looking at the past when in God's eyes it no longer exists? Because when we look at the past, it prevents us from moving forward. And that's what Paul wants us to do. He wants us to move forward with our lives. He wants us to get on with our life. And he wants us to have a life that, yes, is going to have challenges. Yes, at times we're going to have contradictions. But he wants us to move forward and to enjoy the life that we now have in Christ. And he's reminding us that when we don't move forward, when we just become stagnant where we are, when we just kind of enjoy where we're at, our comfort zone, and we don't want to have any more challenges in our lives, when that begins to happen, we actually become stagnant and we begin to fall behind in the walk that God wants us to have with Him. Because the only way that we get better in our own individual lives is to walk with God. The only way that we can mature, as we talked about in the scriptures, to mature the way that God wants us to mature, to understand that as we walk with God, our view about things in our lives will change. And it should. Because as we grow in knowledge and understanding and in spirit with God, the things and the perspectives in our lives will change. They use that new term now, worldview. And your worldview will change as you walk with Christ. Because you and I should be maturing in Christ each day. And I want to remind you, as I have to remind myself, is that as we mature in Christ, that we do not develop a self-righteous and condescending attitude towards others. And I know sometimes there's a tendency for me to get that way. And I have to remind myself, no, don't even go there. Because you too, referring to me, struggled with those same things, had to deal with many of the similar types of circumstances. And I never got them right either. And as we think about those things, we understand that the challenges that we have in our lives, we look at them in something in which we can overcome. I was reading an article this week when it was talking about how to deal with stress. And if you embrace stress, if you understand the reason why that you're having stress in your life is because you care about a certain circumstance. You care about a relationship. You care for the people around you. You care for the things in your life, and that caring gives you that stress because you want to do the right thing. You want to do the correct thing. You want to do the moral thing. And the article was suggesting that that is the good type of stress that we want to have. So when God challenges us It's not there to make our lives miserable. It's not there to make our lives more or worse or better. It's there for our benefit to grow in Him, to mature in Him. And when we see the things that are going on in our lives, we have that attitude that Paul wants us to have, to strive forward, to meet that goal, to go after that goal. Now, you and I will never achieve that goal here on this earth. But yet, we still are to strive for that goal. A couple of years ago, I was talking with someone and we were having this philosophical conversation and it got pretty deep. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that the summation of our lives, in other words, how we end our lives, points to what we believed in our entire life. Does that make sense? So how we end our lives really reveals the character of who we are, really believes of and says to us what we believe in about God, or whether the character of our life reveals something that was totally phony and not real. And that has stuck in my mind as I journey through my life. And I encourage you, as you journey through your life, to think about that. To think about the summation of what you believe in the present. Because it should help you forget the past. And another time we'll talk about forgiveness and how to deal with that in the right way so you can move on. But the summation of our lives in terms of where we are in the present should remind us that God has forgiven us of the things that have happened in the past. And that we are to move forward from this present time with God by our side. Not because of something that we can do in our own power, in our own strength, but something that comes by our side, the Holy Spirit, to remind us to strive for those things that God wants us to strive for, to do the right thing. And if you have stress in your life because you care about relationships and you care about other people and you want to see the right things happen in the world in which you are in, that's a good thing. Because God has placed you on that path to care about those things. And those stressors that we have, yes, we have to deal with them, and yes, they can be overwhelming. But that stress is good because it reminds us that we are moving forward. If you are not feeling any stress in your life, I would suggest that you have just become so stagnant. You have just become so still. And life literally is moving by you. Moving by you. You have fallen behind the maturity that God wants you to have in your life. Now, I don't want any more stress than I have, but I know I'm going to get some more stress. But if I look at it in the way that God wants me to look at it, I can honestly say it's okay. It's there to make me better. It's there to improve upon the relationship that I have with God and the relationship that I have with others. But I can only do that if I am moving forward. Many people ask me, how do I mature in my walk with God? And I explain to them that they need to move forward. And of course, they kind of look at me. But moving forward means that we put everything on God's shoulders. The scriptures tell us that the burden that God wants us to have is to be light, right? To put everything on the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And so as we begin this new year, the challenge to us as we look at our lives is the way that God wants us to mature is by looking forward in our lives. The way that God wants us to mature is to not look at the past. We learn from the past, but God wants us to move on. God wants us to move forward. God wants us to accept the challenges that we have to make a difference in the world in which we are a part of, to make a difference in the relationships that we have. Where has God placed you to make that difference? And if you do have those stressors that seem at times to be so overwhelming and you cry out to God, God hears those cries. God hears those prayers. You are not alone, because the presence of God is always with us. The presence of God is always there by our side, wanting us, urging us to make a difference with others. Because when we do so, then we truly live up to what we have obtained in Jesus Christ. We truly live up to what we say we believe in. We truly live up to the truth that we say we are a part of. And we do that by walking with God each moment of every day, enjoying the present time that we have. And this morning's worship is a wonderful example of that, because you are all here. And I was stressing out that no one was going to be here this morning. But that was good stress. Because why? Because I care. And I'm so thankful that you cared to be here, and that you probably had some stress to get here when you needed to get here. And I am very appreciative of that. But that's the perfect example that God wants us to have, because we're showing and we're demonstrating what we have already obtained, and we're living up to the truth that we all want to represent in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take a few moments and prepare your hearts for communion that we partake together as followers of Christ. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that we are here this morning to make this profession of faith as we take communion together. And Lord, we are publicly giving that testimony of what we believe in. We are testifying to the fact that we want to live according to what we have already attained in our walk with you. And God, we know that we do that with our imperfections. We know that we do that with our contradiction in our lives. But we do so, God, knowing that you forgive us of our sins, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and allow us to walk with you and to walk with each other at a more closer relationship. God, we just praise you for this time and for this communion that we have to remember those things. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 244, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." 244. From the momentum that you have walking forward in your lives. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us to move forward in all things. And Lord, we are putting our trust and our confidence in you. Help us, God, to do that as we begin this new year together. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.